Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Oh, yeah. Hello and welcome, everybody. It's the world-famous Ben and Skin Show, 105.3 The Fan. I'm Ben Rogers, joined by Jeff Skin Wade. We got Jonathan Shippy Shipman, Kevin KT Turner, all hands on deck in studio today for an action-packed presentation just for you and yours and your mom and everyone.
Mm.
And, man, there's so much Dallas Cowboys stuff to get into. When you're on a three-game losing streak, there's drama everywhere. And that takes us directly to Jerry Jones joining us today at 10:30.
How about that?
What do you guys think we absolutely have to ask Jira?
Well, how his birthday was.
That's good. The one that I am far and away more interested in is that every time we have Steven on Monday, we have all these things we want to ask about why they did this and why they did that, and the answer is we're about to go into a meeting. Well, guys, we have Jerry after he was in that meeting. So I want to know why they chose to approach that game the way that they did. What did he learn in the meeting when he sat down with Jason, who does an amazing job of telling you why everything went wrong? I want to know what came out of that meeting. That's what I want to know more than anything.
I think Garrett's got like a sheet of paper that he's got like 150 copies of, and it's at the top says why everything went wrong. And there's just numbers and blank spots, and he just fills that out.
He's organized though, Ben. He actually has it on a wristband, and he pulls a little flap up and looks at it. Yeah.
Did you agree with the decision to go for it on 4th and 2? I mean, it was a first half decision, but little things like that. I think just to see what he thinks about game management and things like that. I would also like to ask him if he's worried that the Tyron Lyle, Amari Cooper injuries would be long term.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, just because they had their draft today, I am interested to see what he thinks about the XFL. Like if that's like the next NFL development league.
Okay. Because
they just had their draft of like guys no one's ever heard of.
Do we
of.
Know who went number one?
I know that former Cowboys running back Christine Michael went 6th. Maybe it's Christine Michelle.
He's like a pretty older, the A&M guy?
Yeah.
He's been around forever, hasn't he?
6th pick in the draft.
What about Johnny Football?
He's not allowed to play in that league.
Oh, because of felony?
How many old guys got drafted in this thing? How old is, dude, that guy's like 28 or something, isn't he?
Yeah.
Well, what are they supposed to choose from? There's not a lot out there.
I know, but they can't find a 23-year-old guy that could barely miss the league? They have to draft a guy that got cut 4 years ago?
Experience. I know they kind of do parodies in their very cynical website, but sometimes I will browse by Deadspin just to see. And they had a good headline, and it was, the XFL is doing a really great job of remembering people.
Right.
Is Eddie Lacy in there?
Eddie Lacy's not. I don't think Eddie Lacy wants to play football anymore because of what he endured
in
his time.
Yeah.
No, it said the XFL.
What about Eddie George?
Remembering guys at an alarming rate.
Did Eddie George get drafted?
I'd like to bring him back to the Cowboys.
Quarterbacks, Connor Cook, Zach Mettenberger. Y'all remember him from the draft?
Oh, two guys that Jerry wanted in the first round.
Here, the Dallas Renegades quarterback is Landry Jones. So Landry Jones and Bob Stoops.
Woo!
Also,
where's that hat?
Cardale Jones. Remember him of Ohio State?
Yes. Heck yes.
Connor Cook.
Is Cardale Jones the guy who issued that incredible quote about we're not here for all the school or whatever?
Yeah. We ain't come to play school. We came to play football. Classes are pointless.
Pretty great.
That's how you end up in the XFL.
But kind of bad. Kind of bad. At least in my estimation, it's
bad. I don't think we'll waste Jerry's time with the XFL draft.
I'm sorry, guys. Just throwing out ideas.
Yeah. Guys, Fanniversary is coming up. We're celebrating our 10 years of being in existence at 105.3 The Fan. I'll never forget the day Skin and I went to the airwaves after, 4.5 hours of marching band music and replaced Russ Martin.
Yep.
I bet that was badass 4.5 hours.
It was a strange time.
It was
Jonathan.
A way to learn how all these songs sound so similar.
Fanniversary is our chance to say thank you guys for being the best listeners in DFW for all of your incredible support. It's taking place Saturday, October 26th from noon to 4 at Texas Live in Arlington. There's going to be Cowboys, Rangers, Mavericks, Stars, FC Dallas, the XFL's Dallas Renegades in the
all
house.
All right.
And it's going to be awesome. It's going to be a good time. So the Cowboys cheerleaders are going to be in the house. Jalen Smith's going to be there. Charles Haley's going to be there, so that's a huge wild card.
He will absolutely nut check everybody.
Ed Belfour is going to be there, so Craig Ludwig. And I believe we've got some new additions. We just found out that Chris Woodward's going to be in the house.
Oh, nice.
We'll be doing a Q&A with all these folks that you got to be there to if you want to hear it. And we're adding items all the time. So last year's was really good. It's free parking, free to get in, free autographs and pictures. It's an awesome day for the entire family. Fanniversary. And it's right around the corner. Again, let's see, the day on that 26th. Is October 26th.
Yes, man.
Saturday, October 26th from noon to 4 at Texas Live. So make plans to come join us for that. You know, one of the things we got to talk to Jerry about, obviously, is the demise of Jason Garrett. We just got to figure out a way to get into it with him at 10:30 because he's not going to say, he's not going to tell us who he wants the next coach to be. He's not going to tell us that Garrett's on the hot seat. You know, he's going to have to be very delicate with the way he does this, and he'd probably give him a vote of confidence, if nothing else. But, I mean, we just got to figure out a way to get him to give us something, right? Yeah. To give us a little gold about the demise, about what the, you know, if he agrees with the decisions Garrett's making, if he feels like, this was what one of our listeners texted in to Sean and RJ show with Mike Fisher today, Roy Troy. And it was, can we figure out a way to ask this? Jerry, on game day, what advantages does Jason Garrett give you over opposing coaches?
Why don't Shippy just use that as a drop and then play it during the interview? Because that's perfect.
I'm down.
That's a great question. I'm dying to hear the answer to that.
Yeah.
That's a great question. It's worded exactly like that. It's not, you're not leading the witness. You're not attacking. You're not
Fair question.
It's fair. You're not putting your own opinion in there. However, it's something that I think a lot of us doubt those abilities. So let's hear from Jerry. He's the man that's kept him here for a decade.
It's a lot better than like, hey Jerry, do us a solid and just get rid of the red man.
Why don't you guys ask Jerry why Garrett sucks?
That's a
go with that. Yeah, and tell him he sucks while you're asking him. Tell him he sucks. No. Yeah.
Yeah.
And to fire himself.
I love radio.
You guys need to hold yourselves accountable.
Or you just lost a listener.
Right.
Tell Jerry's trash or I'm not listening.
Oh, okay. That's a great idea. We got to keep this listener. Jerry, you're trash. What do you think about that? Now what do you got, Jerry?
Hey, great job, Skin.
Thanks. I got him. Oh, he's not coming on ever again. Oh, crap.
You just gained a listener.
We're talking about like an under 1% part of the Cowboys fan base right now.
No one's ever said those words Shippy just said.
What? You just gained a listener.
I wasn't listening, but I heard y'all called Jerry trash. You guys were peas when you told him he was trash. You just lost a listener.
Wait, now you can rewind and fast forward the radio.com app? You just gained a listener.
Woo! Wow, the anniversary is free?
That is a huge thing for us. We love it. Let's power rank how we want you to listen. We want you to listen live on a radio, on a car stereo or an actual radio if you still have one of those. Radio waves are still the best ways for you to listen. Now, if you can't listen on a radio, we want you to stream the show live on radio.com. The app is massively improved, and now you can fast forward and rewind on that app. But if you can't do either of those things and you can't be in real time and you got to play makeup and catch up, you can, because you can always go listen to our podcast. And as long as you listen in the first 24 hours, we still get credit for that, and we're super happy with that. You go to 1053thefan.com/Ben and Skin. All of our podcasts are there. We also have a Twitter account solely dedicated to our podcast feed. It's at Ben and Skin on Twitter, BenAndSkin. We would greatly appreciate that. You guys have done a great job supporting us. We're grateful for all that. Now, every once in a while, we have a charity event that we get involved in, and we auction off the opportunity to come sit in studio with us. And we're very excited about today because this was for Dave Wilson's fundraiser. We've got an old friend from Berkner High School, Eric Habel, stepped up on this thing. He's with Richard Abernathy. They're in studio today, so that's going to be awesome. We greatly appreciate their support. We greatly appreciate the opportunity to help a charity in such an easy way. Hey, come hang out with us in studio. Are you kidding? That's a tremendous honor for us. So it's going to be a big, big show, including Jerry Jones coming up at 10:30. So why don't we get this party started? Coming up next, let's talk about Monday Night Football. The Packers with a 1-point win over the Lions. The officiating was wheels off, and so was Booger. We'll talk about that next on the Ben and Skin Show as we get this party started right here on 105.3 The Fan.
14 minutes and counting until Jerry Jones joins us from Florida, where he's going to some kind of an owner's meeting out there. Ben and Skin Show, 105.3 The Fan. So last night, I was doing Mavs pregame or Mavs preseason duty, rather. I did not get to see the Lions-Packers game, but I saw the replay, saw the highlights, and I saw all the controversy as, once again, questionable officiating. Maybe we need to talk to Jerry about the officiating dudes, because it's becoming way too big of a storyline the last two or three years. The NBA used to dominate bad officiating conversations. Like, they were far and away the leader in this bad boy. But the NFL is inching up there. And the ego of umpires is kind of making baseball a thing. But this is a bigger problem because more people in America care about the NFL than any other sport by a wide, wide margin. And I think it's safe to say way more people wager on the NFL and college football than anything else. Mm-hmm. So it's very, very problematic right now. And last night you had this was a crucial game in determining the fate of the NFC playoff picture because of the way the Lions and Packers have both started. And I'm sure there's at least seven Lions fans out there, and they're very disappointed today because they felt like they got jobbed last night.
Two drives extended because of an illegal hands to the face on Trey Flowers, number 90. He was going up against the Packers left tackle, and both times the flag was called. He had his hand up around the neck, but it was still on the, you know, towards the shoulder of the left tackle, mm-hmm. and he had his hand there, and the left tackle did a good job of selling it.
He was flopping, basically.
His neck back, like, ah!
It was very Ginobili or James Harden of him. Just got to throw his head back and get a foul called.
But that extended two drives, and it really changed the game, man. That was the difference in the game. Now, there's a lot of things that happened over the course of that game. We talked about the Cowboys having a -3 turnover and winning that game and losing real bad against the Packers. Mm-hmm. Packers were -3 in turnovers and won that game last night.
Holy God. Because that happens two or three times a season.
They had a fumble. They had a muffed punt by Darius Shepherd, and then a ball that hit Darius Shepherd in the face was intercepted right around the goal line. So -3 in teams of the stature, you never win when you're -3. The Packers were able to come back and win. Now, the way they managed the clock was pretty crazy, but they got an extension of the drive again. And the Lions have had a chance to get the ball back. They had stopped the Packers, but they called that ghost flag. And then the Packers ended up, well, the Lions tried to let, there's a couple things. Like, part of me is like, okay, yes, the refs. The other part of me is like, Matt Patricia did a horrible job of managing the clock. He wasted his timeouts too late. He didn't take his timeouts early and used the 2-minute warning as an additional timeout, mm-hmm. which he could have done. Mm-hmm. And then also he tried to let the Packers score. And Jamal Williams is about to go score a touchdown, and Aaron Rodgers is behind him saying, get down, get down. And the Packers, he went down at the 2-yard line. They ran the clock all the way out, like a 6-minute drive.
Do you guys ever think Jason Garrett would want a player to not run into the end zone?
No.
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 No. Never, ever, ever.
So, never. Yeah, it was weird, man. It's a huge thing. Booger was mad on the TV broadcast. He was getting commended for it despite his horrible broadcasting. He was getting Good commended for it.
God, dude, Booger was blowing up my timeline last night. Just people killing him. I think he's bad. But I also think that environment it's just become toxic. Mm-hmm. Like, Witten felt it, and Witten wasn't as bad as everyone was making him out to be. And Tessitore is pretty bad. So, I mean, I think they're in a no-win
situation. I'm electric!
They're in a no-win situation. But let's talk about the officiating for a minute. The officiating in the NFL is straight trash. What, can you find anybody who thinks that the officiating is good? I can't. And Blandino? I can't wait to talk to Jerry about that. Blandino doesn't. He bounced.
Oh!
So, if you keep this in mind, the NFL is a $15 billion annual industry. And the people probably most important to making sure that the games go off the way they're supposed to go off are the officials. There's not one full-time official anymore. They got rid of this. They're in some labor negotiation with the refs, and so there's no full-time officials. And so everybody out there calling a game is a part-time tire salesman or accountant or doctor or whatever, and they're dabbling in officiating on the side. And to me, that is a gross mistake, an error, straight negligence to have part-time employees deciding the outcome of these games for a $15 billion annual industry.
That is a long-term issue for sure. But the short-term issue is what happened when they changed the pass interference rule, and that's opened up what everyone, Dean Blandino talked about it. I know I was mad about it when it happened. Mm-hmm. And everyone said, we've opened up a can of worms, not only for this, but now people are going to start questioning other calls. And that's what happened last night. Last night is kind of one of the first big national TV only game on examples that we've seen of discussion starting to pop up. Well, do we need to now start reviewing illegal hands to the face and things like that? I want to read you this tweet from Gene Steratore. Mm-hmm. Gene Steratore, the former official, most famous for Cowboys Raiders, where he measured a first down with a note card. You guys remember that? Index card.
That was incredible.
And then he kind of smiled as he signaled a first down, and then he retired.
He acknowledged.
As if he knew he was about to quit.
He was like, guys, I can never top making something up on national TV at this moment, so I'm bouncing.
So
this is my shining moment, everyone. I pulled out an index card.
Here's his tweet. Reviewing judgment calls like pass interference is slowing the game down. Agree, 100%. And affecting the quality of the product. Let's get back to football and let the officials apply their judgment in game speed. Watching plays at 10% speed and looking for contact is not how the rules should be applied. I 100% agree, and I know I'm one of the few guys who's on this limb, but I just think you should just get rid of replay and just let them screw up and look. Everyone acknowledge that you're going to get screwed, all right? And this is how it was back in the day, right?
Yes, absolutely.
This is how it was back in the 90s when you went to a restaurant, right, and you didn't like your food. You just complained about it when you went home. You just went home and you shut the F up about it, right? You don't go to Yelp and leave reviews, okay? Here's the thing. You stay here and just take it. Okay, just take it. Everyone's going to get screwed no matter what with the way it's going. Let's get back to a 3-hour game. Just let them not have it like that. It's frustrating to me because it's like if you're going to slow it down and review it, then it needs to be right 100% of the time. And it's not right 100% of the time.
Okay, well, two things. Number one, KT, I just realized KT is saying that Yelp ran Spaghetti Warehouse out of business. And then number two, I love the idea of not reviewing something in slow motion. Review it in real time.
Why?
Because slow motion is going to show things that don't affect the real world.
Well, it's going to show you what really happened.
No. Like if I show you touching me in slow motion, it's going to look way more egregious than it was in real time. It just is. It's going to exacerbate things and make them look more extreme than they really are. So there's a lot of things that people have been doing for years in terms of leveraging one another that don't really have an impact. But if you do it in slow motion, you go, oh, my God, that guy's mugging him.
I hear what you're saying, but I disagree. I think slow motion tells the whole story.
It depends.
And you're not supposed to touch him. You're not supposed to touch him.
It's football, though.
Well,
okay, and then
the rule.
No, you can't have football without contact. The sport is contact. That's the nature of the sport.
I hear you, but I think slow motion tells a story.
So the other thing that I would suggest on dealing with all that is if you are going to have instant replay, then there's no quote unquote conclusively overturning something because that's where you get into the most issues. The most issues is, okay, it's like court. Well, you have to prove to this jury without a reasonable doubt that what you say happened actually happened. You should go in there with a clean slate because if you're saying this play should be contested in the first place, and I stole this from Bobby Corella. If you say it's being contested in the first place, you just look at it as a clean slate without any preconceived notion of having to prove something.
Can we do some more of this later? I know we got to go to Jerry, but can we get back into this later? Because there's a lot I want to say.
Okay, coming up next, we'll get a call from Jerry Jones. He is headed to Florida for the owners' meetings. We'll do that next right here on The Fan.
All right, it's Bennett Skin Show 105.3 The Fan, and thanks to Ford. Ford is the best in Texas. It's our opportunity to talk to the owner, general manager of the Dallas Cowboys, Jerry Jones. How you doing today, Mr. Jones?
Hey, man, I'm doing fine. I'm in Florida at our fall meetings of our NFL ownership. So we've got a little tight schedule going on here for the most part of today and early part of in the morning. So I'm down here doing a little league work.
Well, we greatly appreciate you taking the time to still jump on 105.3 The Fan so we can visit with you and see what's on your mind and, of course, represent how fans are feeling and get your reaction to that, which I know you enjoy. And, hey, we'd be remiss not to acknowledge the fact that there's a fan base who feels like they have a coach on the hot seat or should be on the hot seat. And would like to start off by allowing you to just kind of address that. It seems like most Cowboy fans are in a situation where they feel like your head coach should be held responsible for this 3-game losing streak.
Yeah. Well, you're not allowing me to do anything. I want to talk about our team, talk about our coach. I have felt that we've got a lot invested in Jason Garrett. He's had a lot of years that he's been a part of the Cowboys, and he's evolved into what I think is a top coach. He would be a very sought-after coach if he were out here in the open market. So there's a lot of pluses there. He brings a lot to the table. And I can genuinely say that that is not a thought that I'm having. So it would be unfair to our fans for me to have any indication about what I may think the future is as far as a head coach. Everybody's aware that we're on the last year of his agreement, but that really just means that we can all sit down and take a look at things at the end of the year. That was the case when he had won the first three ball games, and still the case today after losing the last three.
So, Jerry, whenever we have your son Steven on, we always have him on Mondays right before he's about to go into the coaches meeting, and you guys are going to look at what happened and talk about the approach and all those things. And so we always miss out on the opinions after that meeting. When you got with Steven and the front office and the coaching staff and Jason yesterday and talked about what actually happened on Sunday, what did you take away from Jason's approach to the game? Did you agree with his approach to the game? Some of the reasons things did or didn't work. What did you take out of the coaches and front office meeting yesterday in regards to Sunday?
Yeah, well, that was yesterday. That was yesterday, and I was in New York yesterday.
Oh!
I didn't come home after the ball game, and so, and Steven's sitting here about 3 feet from me right now. And so, but we were called in and heard the reports of that guys play better. Some play well, some play not as well. Across the board, you can those meetings that you have when you lose a ball game leave you with a better taste in your mouth. So I sometimes say maybe I shouldn't even go to the meeting because we lost the game, period. That's what ought to be the aftertaste. And I know our fans understand that statement. But it basically was a mixed bag. I wouldn't and never have gotten into individual grades or basically from the nuances of a coach grading out a player of his, whether or not it was mental, whether or not it was whether or not it was effort. I've never gotten into those kind of grades there. But we graded out, in my mind, the way the score ended up. Their quarterback really played well, better than I expected that he would play after that layoff. But he's a good player, and he really throws the ball well, and that was a big win for him and his career. And so we did play a team that had good quarterback play. And they were physically, and I would think it would be safe to say that they were able to basically have more influence in their fronts, both fronts, physically, than we had anticipated. So from that standpoint, we won the turnover battle. We won the possession battle. We let them make the big play. They had the catastrophe of getting stopped, and then they turn around and make the big play, which arguably was a 14-point swing. So, you know, all of that has it looked. Make no mistake about it, there's no one that was smiling or had a good feeling about our game on Monday morning.
So, Jerry, on that fourth and two, I mean, you're obviously a guy who's talked about taking on risks and the payoffs for that and how nothing ventured, nothing gained. But were you on board with going for that fourth and two at that moment?
Again, that would be in the neighborhood of second guessing. If Zeke had found a crease and scored, then I'm on board. If he got stopped, I'm not on board. So, frankly, I'm just like the rest of us out there, and I will always, what didn't work, change it. But still, you know, your options there are quarterback sneaks. Your options there are look for the kind of option that we had when we were going for two. That's the type of play that you can do in those circumstances. And so, you know, so much for that. We really did come up short on a couple of key plays, and you could easily say that's the way the game went. Others would remind you, but Jerry, don't you think you should have had a more dominant game against a team like the Jets? In the NFL, any time you line up. Because of the nature of professional football, they pay their players exactly what you pay. And they're great players. You normally would like to have two-thirds of the team that's sitting over there. You'd probably have tried to get them on your team. Anytime you walk out there, you got a chance to get beat.
Talking to Jerry Jones, presented by Ford. He's at the NFL League meetings in Florida. So, Jerry, we spend a lot of time on this show talking about modern NFL game management. And we, you know, we do a lot of second guessing. Do you believe philosophically that game management is an important, super important part of coaching? And if so, do you generally agree with Garrett's philosophy on staying more in the moment as opposed to more big picture game management stuff?
Yeah, well, you said Garrett's philosophy. I'm not so sure that I can articulate without enough vagueness. What is philosophy? Is philosophy always going forward on fourth down? Doesn't that depend upon what part of the field you're on? Doesn't that depend upon down and distance? Doesn't that feel upon time in the game? All of those kinds of things. So if you're asking me that I can differentiate between Garrett's philosophy, other coaches in the league's philosophy, I don't know that I've got the years it would take for us to go through that and try to pin down a moving answer. I can't tell you what that game management philosophy is. I know you want to save your timeouts and have as many of them right at the end as you possibly can. But I also know that you want to use some of them for what they were intended for, and that's to correct an obvious error in officiating. But guess what? In the league today, we're not overturning anything. So you want to use your time for there, or do you want to use your time to not get overturned at the end of the game? So, again, I know that I'm being I know I'm not being specific to your question, but obviously, if I just totally disagreed with Garrett and his philosophy, then he wouldn't be the coach.
That's a good way to answer it right there. We're talking to Jerry Jones, the Bennett Skin Show, brought to you by Ford. Ford is the best in Texas. And staying on Coach Garrett here, there's so much that he does that he's really good at. He's a leader of men. He's a man of high character. You know, there's not anybody who interacts with him that doesn't like Coach Garrett. But Cowboy fans are curious about the game day skills and those types of things.
Well, they should be. They should be. I want them to be. And I don't want to interrupt you with your question, but my goodness, I want them curious about every nuance of game day. That's one of the things I'm excited about the future. I think some of the things we've got coming in the future, gaming, things like that, I think it's going to increase the intensity and the eyeballs of people watching. I actually think replay, even in its inexact or in its inaccurate form, increases the interest in the game. The game last night, Detroit and Green Bay, the calls were the subject of most of the talk after the ball game. And they're the talk this morning, and they'll be the talk this week. As long as they're talking, keep it going.
Yeah, exactly. And I love your approach to that. I think that's right on the money. But I think what I wanted to ask is just in your opinion, what is the best thing Coach Garrett does on game day?
Oh, I think he's tremendously organized on game day. I think without a question, he's in his career, you'd say, Garrett have his team ready? Does Garrett, you know, we all need a certain discipline. We all need order. He creates that. There are so many things that Jason Garrett does well. You can't separate coach from the person. And so you've got to look at integrity. You've got to look at having skills, people skills, all of those kinds of things. Does he have a bad moment or a moment that he'd like to do differently with people? I have them by the hour. And so you're right. It's degrees. It's degrees. Some people have long suits. Some people have short suits. And you can get it done with all of those frailties or all of those qualities. But the big thing is, all in all, Jason Garrett is a really, really top individual that happens to be coaching. And the period of time that I've known him, I've known him for 20-something years. He's been our coach for 10. Knew his dad for 20 years during that period of time. I think we answered it right off the bat. He wouldn't have been our coach for 10 years. Do I not think he has a lot of great qualities to coach?
Talking to Jerry Jones, presented by Ford here on the Ben and Skin Show, 105.3 The Fan. Obviously, when you lose three in a row, there's sort of some overarching themes, and one of them has been that perhaps in some people's estimations, at least mine, this defense is underperformed. I thought they were possibly a top five or six defense, and that hasn't been the case. Why do you think that is? Do you think your defense is underperformed?
I think we can have had times when we can tackle better. We've got some backs that if they'd looked back at the ball, they wouldn't have gotten the calls for interference. And if they'd looked back more, I've seen us make some plays where we did look back and have a great defensive plays. I think you can take bad angles. I've seen Heath take great angles and make great plays. I've seen his angles lack. That's important at safety that you do that. I think you've got to have some instincts back there. 27 has them. I think Awuzie has them. So I've seen Byron Jones. I've seen Byron Jones really do some real good things. Two or three of those guys I just mentioned did them better last year. We're having. But this is just the first third of the season this year. We may be having a different conversation in the next six games, one way or the other.
Mr. Jones, there's Cowboy fans and NFL fans alike who are frustrated with NFL officiating. I'm not trying to get you fined here by any means, but you're very involved in the league at a very high level. Are you satisfied with officiating in general in the game right now? And if not, what could be done to make it better?
I think that any time you try to create complete consistency and complete accuracy, just call it right, you've missed the point of how the rules can be interpreted. We've got hands to the face. Well, we also call hands to the neck. You saw the plays last night.
Yeah, right.
Controversial. Mm-hmm. But we've got hands to the neck. So what are you trying to accomplish? Is it called much? No. We had the same rule on the books for probably the first 15 years I was in the league, and that was you can't touch a guy as a secondary pass defender. You can't touch the receiver 5 yards down the field. You can't check him. You can't put your hands. You can't do that. We never enforced it. We decided to start enforcing it, and we changed the game for the benefit of the offense. When we started enforcing touching the guy past 5 yards down the field, are we enforcing it a little different now? I think so. On terms of touching them 5 yards down the field, you need to get your head. You need to look around. You can't be touching them and fighting them and hand checking them and doing all that kind of stuff. Touching them, yes, but you better get that head around and look like you're looking at the ball. You won't get it called if you get the head around, generally speaking.
And yet, when you get the head around, you lose the receipts. God, it's also difficult. All right, so Jerry, we know you got to get back to your meetings there, but we do want to find out how your birthday went down. You were in New York. I'm assuming that despite the loss, you guys figured out a way to have a good time Jones style.
Well, you can imagine we didn't expect to have a loss, and we did. I would say, Jerry, surely you don't go through life going to a football game and not think you might lose the game, do you? And I, of course, I don't. And I know that those kinds of things happen. I know you have all kinds. I did appreciate, though, just by the nature of it, I got to be with a lot of my family and my immediate family, kids and grandkids. And so that made a nice time. You know, seriously now, I can get up and get indignant, and I can get mad with the best of them. I can do that. But I really, when I pout for over a few seconds, or I really catch myself complaining, I ask my friends to get away from me, and I duck because lightning's going to strike me. I've had it too good to complain. So, the man will take care of this because if I'm complaining.
Oh, that's awesome. I do want to know that, you know, with age comes perspective. We all know that, and we certainly wish you a very happy 77th birthday. And I'm just curious, if you could go back and talk to young Jerry Jones at age 17, and young Jerry Jones at age 47, what would you go back in time and tell yourself, and how would that message be different from 17 to 47?
You know, I've had a lot of fun. And, you know, nobody's supposed to live a life of just fun, but I've had a lot of fun. And I would say, I know you want to accomplish, and I know you want to make your family proud of you. And by the way, I know you want to have not be worried about how you're going to pay your bills. And I knew all of that. I knew admiring a cashier that made $100 a week. And I said, if you ever got to where you could make $100 a week, you could quit worrying about money for the rest of your life. And I remember that like yesterday when I looked at it. But, of course, I got exposed to sport, and I had the complete area. I will tell you that I've always felt that you need to be doing both. You need to be not only focused and having something that's got you excited, but you need to be having some fun. And so I practice that, and I've had too much fun when I should be working before. And I've had too much work when I shouldn't have been having fun before. So I kind of at least realize that you're supposed to spend a little time smiling. I did that very early. And when I played football, it'd be arduous. It'd be tough. Gosh, those old two-a-days, and everything would be going good. I remember one time over at Little Rock, we were playing Baylor. And we'd been up and down the field, up and down the field. You could hardly breathe. And our quarterback got intercepted right as we were scoring a touchdown. Bobby Maples ran it back 80-something yards, All-American for Baylor. As it turned out, I caught him. And when I caught him, knocked the ball out. We recovered it right there and had to turn around and go back 85 yards to go. And our coach was always saying, men, you see your character. You see your character in the fourth quarter when you're tired. And I said, laughingly, I said, man, I couldn't even breathe. I said, if we can get this thing from here in, we got character. We got character. Let's go. And so the whole point is that there's always time and a good time for a little humor, and I have practiced it.
No question. Mr. Jones, thank you so much for your time today. We understand how busy you are. We're grateful for the time, and we look forward to visiting with you again soon. And on behalf of us and all Cowboy fans, happy belated birthday.
Thank you very much. Appreciate you guys very much.